So we are on page 506. And Sri Aurobindo is describing us the divine forces when they come to us and the human response. So there are two kinds of people, one who respond beautifully and go through things in a divine way. So when there are difficulties, challenges, supported by the each of these Madonnas, they take life in that way. They are not complaining, grudging, but they endure. Everybody on our life has to endure. So Lord Rama, we are watching it now, how he endured the journey. He did not complain, he did not grudge, he did not blame anybody, not even his father and mother. When his mother, who has sent him away, Kekai, she later on feels bad and her son does not speak to him, Bharat. Then what does Ram advise Bharat? Ram advises him, he says that you see, a son may be good or bad, but a mother is never bad. That is the kind of path that we need to take. Suffering, challenge comes, we have to endure. This is what the Madonna of suffering, mother of grief divine says. So there is a divine way of meeting the challenge of life. We endure, we work through it with faith, even if apparently nothing much happens. But the other way is the way of the Titan. He immediately starts complaining, grumbling, grudging. He is all the time seeing the negative side. Only complaint, complaint, complaint. And therefore he suffers. He multiplies his suffering. And we had read these lines. I have loved for mine, not for the beloved's sake. When he loves, he is not concerned about what he should give. He is concerned about what he can get. I have lived for myself and not for others' lives. Each in himself is soul by nature's law. This is the error of the Titan. According to Titan, each person is not only alone but cut off from all the rest. Each is cut off from others. Now, the Indian Vedanta will say each one is distinct. Distinct is different from separate. Distinct is each tree in the garden is distinct. It has a different purpose, it has a different way. But they are all interconnected by the same air, same water, same soil, same sun. Even within them, it is nowadays research that even trees and plants talk to each other. If there is a danger, a plant communicates to other plants. They have ways of communicating it. So though they are different in surface, deep inside they are one. This is how we should live. But the Titan thinks he alone is, and everybody is alone, separate. There is no connectedness. So has he... Okay. So God has made his harsh and dreadful world, so has he built the petty heart of man. That's why he draws a wrong conclusion that God has made this world full of suffering and left us alone to suffer. Why alone? Because he thinks he is separate. He thinks God is cut off from the world, and therefore for the Titan, each one is only living alone and must live for himself. So the Titan is always, Asura in man is always complaining, always revolting, always grudging, grumbling. And the gods are full of gratitude. Only by force and ruse can man survive. So from his philosophy comes the conclusion. God is not there to help you. Nobody is there to help you. By force, by raising a storm, then only you can get khette dao, na to gaddi chhede dao. This is what, you know, give us food, otherwise throw away from the, this is how we, you know, what happened to this kind of violent communist creeds. For pity is a weakness in his breast, his goodness is a laxity in the nerves. Asura does not understand sympathy, kindness. He cannot think about others. He is too preoccupied with his own pain. And therefore his pain becomes very large, much larger than what it is. Whereas godlike nature will always think about others. They will forget their own pain and they will think about others' pain, others' suffering. See how mother went to the forefront in the First World War. She had a nervous breakdown while taking care of the sick. But she would take care of them, with forgetting everything. Even when she came here, giving and taking everybody's suffering into oneself. That is the way of the gods. But for the Titan, goodness is a weakness. He thinks, oh, good people are weak people. His kindness an investment for return. So he cannot trust anybody. If somebody is kind, he thinks he must be wanting something from me. That is how his mind is running. His altruism is ego's other face. Because that is how he is. He thinks world is like that. He serves the world that him the world may serve. So he will serve others, but only to get service from others. Like some of these politicians, they will do things for you, but only so that you can return to them what they want from you. So this is the way of the Asura, but gods are not like that. They serve for the joy of service. They serve God in man, not for aggrandizing the ego. So finally he says, what is the way that I can, he is suffering. So how can my suffering go away? So what does the Asura say? If once the Titan's strength could wake in me. Yes, all the grumbling, grudging, but he does not have that strength, this Asura of suffering. He's only suffering. He wants the strength of the Titan. But why? If once the Titan's strength could wake in me, if Enceladus from Etna could arise. So Enceladus is a Greek mythology. Otherwise, Enceladus is a moon of the Saturn, second moon of Saturn. But in Greek mythology, he is a Titan, giant. So he is an Asura who is fighting against Athena. Athena is Durga. So just as we have Durga and Mahishasura, so we can compare it same way. So Enceladus is a Titan who is fighting against Athena, like Mahishasura with Durga. So what does Athena do? She defeats him and buries him in Etna, which is a mountain in Sicily. So there he is buried. Buried means his 1,000 arms are buried inside. So that mountain is very interesting. It has hot spring inside it. So now this is symbolic. So all the heat is inside. So there are people who are always full of anger, full of hate, full of unhappiness inside. So if they could turn that into strength to destroy everybody. So if Enceladus from Etna could arise, if he could take out his arms and revolt against God, I then would reign the master of the world. Then I will be the king of the world. I know his strength comes from suffering. His strength comes from revolt. His strength comes from anger. There are people for whom the only thing they know is anger. And like a god enjoy man's bliss and pain. So all our Devasur Sangram, we will read these stories. He says, see, man and God, they are enjoying. I am the only fellow marked by God to suffer, not realizing you are the cause of your own suffering, your attitudes. But he does not want to correct himself. He wants force to conquer heaven and enjoy the heaven. But God has taken from me the ancient force. So he is born of the, now Shobindo has touched the origin of the Asura. So in the Vedas, the Asuras are not bad. They are born from the force of the divine, whereas gods are born from the knowledge of the divine. That's why Shobindo says in Durga Strot, give me the strength of the Titan and the character and intelligence of the gods. So but what happens, these Titans who are born from the force, they revolt because they have the force, and therefore the force is taken away from them. So they feel weak, but they remember that we had the force. So they want to recapture it by continuing their revolt. But God has taken from me the ancient force. there is a dull consent in my sluggish heart, a fierce satisfaction with my special pangs, as if they made me taller than my kind. Only by suffering can I excel. This is the attitude we'll find. What is this attitude? Dull consent. I am suffering, what can I do? God has made me suffer. I have no choice. It's not true, but that's how he justifies. Also he says, he even gets satisfaction. How? He says, see how much I am bearing the suffering. So this sense of suffering makes him feel great. Others are suffering so much less. I am suffering so much more. So he is excelling. He, even in that he feels, I am getting A++ grade. Others are not suffering so much. I am suffering so much. So their suffering, always they feel their suffering is more than anybody else. So fierce satisfaction with my special pangs, as if they made me taller than my kind. I mean, as if means it is not true. But that is how the Asura thinks. Only by suffering can I excel. I am the victim of titanic ills. So there are people who are always playing the victim card, as it is called today. You will see, there are even certain communities. They will hit, they are violent, they will even kill. But if there is a backlash, then they will say, see, I am a victim, they are destroyed. So it is called the victim card. So there are beings who will always play the victim. They will come and hit you, but if you go back and hit them, then they see, this person is hitting me. That is how Bali tells to Shri Ram, Lord Ram, that my very Sugriv Piyara, why is it that you have killed me and spared Sugriv? You are supposed to be the guardian of Dharma. Why did you kill me? So Rama says, this question of dharma you are asking today. All your life you have done a dharma. Suddenly you are asking about dharma. So this is how the titan is a, he always feels he is a victim. If you see the life of Bali, he is so strong, mighty. But he feels first, Sugriv has victimized me. Then so and so has victimized me. Finally he says, Rama has victimized me. And then he says, in your life you never lived for dharma. So this is how I am the victim of titanic ills. I am the doer of demonic deeds. So he ultimately says that, well, this is what is my nature. I will do that. I was made for evil. Evil is my lot. Evil I must be, and by evil live. So people who are of this nature, they will say, what can I do? God has made me like this. I will do evil because God has made me evil. This is the excuse and justification. Because even the worst asura, even in darkest darkness, God's grace can reach. That is what the Gita says. Even if we are in dense darkness, if we call the divine name, he will rescue us. But he does not want to surrender. That is his problem. He will say, God has made me like this, I will remain forever. It is his own deeds that has led to the fall. And even now, he will not surrender. He will only quarrel and say, I cannot help it. My nature is to quarrel. That's the end of the story. Not other can I do but be myself. What nature made me, that I must remain. So all those who say, I can't help it, nature made me like this, I can't change, are basically, this titan is speaking through them. So that's why this is such an important canto. All the Devasuri Sampada we will find here. In the Bhagavad Gita, there is a very important chapter, 16, Devasuri Sampada. The wealth of the gods and the wealth of the titans. And why that chapter is? So that we can acquire the wealth of the gods and we can throw away what is known as wealth of the titan. So we'll see this in great detail elaborated here. There we see just 17 qualities of the gods and the attitudes of the asuras that Sri Krishna recounts. Here Sri Aurobindo gives in great detail so that we can shun them. I suffer and toil and weep. I moan and hate. Even if everything is there, even if God is there, there are people who are right next to God. But they will complain, suffer. And Savitri heard the voice, the echo heard. She hears the voice. And the echo in human ego. And turning to her being of pity spoke. She is not speaking about this fellow. She is not saying anything to him. Because she knows that as the godlike light, love, they descend, he will go away. She knows what is the source of his suffering. But trying to tell him will make no difference. So whom does she speak to? The being of pity who is bearing the pain of the world. But doing it in a godlike way. Enduring, helping, healing. Madonna of suffering, mother of grief divine. Thou art a portion of my soul put forth to bear the unbearable sorrow of the world. So she says that you are not my soul but a portion of the soul. Because she has started by saying, I am thy soul. Says you are not the soul but you are a power which has come from the soul. All sympathy, kindness, the will to serve, help, it comes from the soul. Shobindra said all this tenderness, affection, they all come from the soul. As he says that you are a portion of my soul. To bear the unbearable sorrow of the world. Because thou art, men yield not to their doom, but ask for happiness and strive with fate. Because she is there, men continue to seek happiness. She does not let them feel depressed. She does not let them feel that there is no hope. Because thou art, the wretched still can hope. But thine is the power to solace, not to save. So she says that you can give comfort, but you cannot save. That she knows. Even Madonna of Suffering has said, I cannot save, but I can only give solace. It's a very big thing. When we passed out of medical college, somebody had given this nice saying to me. It's a prayer from 13th century, one Christian mystic. To sometimes cure, to often relieve, to always comfort. We cannot cure, most of the time we cannot cure actually. But we can always relieve some painkiller, something. But comfort always, don't worry. Pray to God. He will take care. You cannot. People think doctors are omnipotent and omniscient. But doctors are not. They are human beings. The medical science is very infant science actually. It's not like everything is discovered and we have some magic. Doctors don't have magic. Magic is only with God. But yes, we can always give some relief. Some fever, some this thing. Most of the diseases, doctors don't cure, body cures, nature cures, God cures, faith cures. But we can assist the process. Words can little bit comfort, that's all. So she says, one day I will return, a bringer of strength. One day I will come back to you. Because Savitri has to search the soul, go further up, to open, fight with death, open the doors of the supermind. So one day I will return, a bringer of strength, and make thee drink from the eternal's cup. That is the cup of bliss, the ananda, somras. Somras will rejuvenate humanity, the cup of immortality. And make thee drink from the eternal's cup, his streams of force shall triumph in thy limbs. When God's force comes streaming down into our body, and of course, this Madonna, then she will grow strong. Then she will know the secret. And wisdom's calm control thy passionate heart. Because she is the goddess of pity. She looks at human suffering and she suffers with others' suffering. So she says, you also need the calm wisdom. If you start, then it will be difficult. So you have to continue your work, but do it with a calm wisdom. Thy love shall be the bond of humankind, compassion the bright key of nature's acts. Wisdom, compassion, when we have them, and God's strength, then we can really help a lot more than if we are only doing it at the level of solace. Misery shall pass abolished from the earth. The world shall be freed from the anger of the beast. Misery is because of that. Anger, cruelty, hatred, jealousies which human beings harbor in the heart. So she said, this is the remedy. As long as men have this, they will suffer. All that our shadripus, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mad, matsar, and fear. As long as we are driven by ego and desire, we will suffer. She says, one day I will come back with the real remedy. Till then you can help, solace. The world shall be freed from the anger of the beast, from the cruelty of the titan and his pain. There shall be peace and joy forevermore. So then there will be peace and joy, and humanity will be freed from the clutch of the asura, who moves our ego and therefore brings suffering and calamity. Next week.